Welcome to Healing Class. Here we are in spring, March 21st, 2011. Spring 2021, spring has started. So thank you, Jesus. Lord, we're so thankful for new life, for your life, for the life that's in your word. Thank you for the message that you have prepared for us, the word that you have prepared for us. Lord, we come to you today with hearts that are open and ready to receive. Holy Spirit, we appreciate that you are our teacher. Thank you so much for teaching us, for leading us into the truth, for revealing to us the truth of your word. And so, Lord, we receive that. We commit now to be ready to receive, expecting that your word is going to bring a change in our hearts, which then is going to make a change in our bodies, change in our situations. So we receive that now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, praise God. I'm glad you're here today. There's a scripture that we're going to spring off from today. And it's something that the Lord showed me maybe a month or 6 weeks ago. He spoke it to me, and I've just been meditating on it. It's real short. It's the first part in 1 Corinthians 15:34. You don't have to turn there. It's just there's three words. And in that beginning of that verse, it says, "Awake to righteousness. Awake to righteousness." And it continues on. But there's something that the Lord spoke to me about that. Awake is kind of like wake up. Now, no, it's awake to righteousness, not honor your father. But that's a good scripture. But it's awake to righteousness is what we're looking at today. Now, that Greek word that's translated there, awake, is a kepho. And what it means is to return to oneself from drunkenness, to become sober.
Who wants to do that?
To return to soberness of mind. So it's this, hey, wake, come out of that drunkenness. Now, if any of you've ever been drunk, no hands, you don't have. But those of us that have experienced that,
delivered drunk.
But as you know that the alcohol, the drunkenness affects your body, and it causes a sluggishness, and a slowness and a dullness, not just in your mobility, but also in your thinking. And you lose alertness and becomes cloudy in thoughts and disoriented. And so it's interesting that the Lord used that picture here when he said, wake up, come on out of that stupor, come on out of that and hey, wake up, come out of that drunken attitude. And the root word in there, that nepho, is also used about a half a dozen times in the New Testament, and there's other places where it talks about being alert, being sober, like in Peter's, the end of his first letter to the church, he talked about be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may be devour. So it's that same concept here is, hey, sober up, pay attention, be alert. But what he said, be alert to righteousness. So pay attention here. Focus. Hey, there's something here about righteousness that don't get sluggish in your thoughts about. And I think it really applies. It applies to a lot of areas, this idea of righteousness, but it also applies in the area of healing. And so I want to explore that a little bit. I'm going to start with a question. What is righteousness? It says, okay, we're talking about wake up to righteousness. What is righteousness?
Being right with God.
Being right with God.
Being
able to stand in his presence without any guilt or shame. Doesn't the scripture said there is no one that's righteous? No, not one. Doesn't it say that your righteousness is as filthy rags? So
self-righteousness.
Your self-righteousness. So there's more than one kind of righteousness. So what's the righteousness then that we're talking about here? Wake up to righteousness.
The righteousness of God.
The righteousness of God
In Christ.
So it's the righteousness that not based on our works.
Right.
It's not based on what we do. It's the righteousness of Christ. And where did that come from?
Our identity.
Our identity.
Came from Jesus' death on the cross.
Our identity, identifying with Jesus' death on the cross. See, so yes, we identify with that righteousness because of his death on the cross.
Identifying
so,
with his resurrection too, because at the resurrection is when righteousness
yep. He was crucified, but he was raised because of our justification, the scripture says. So the price was paid. So the Easter's coming up here. Resurrection Day's coming up. Our celebration's coming up here in a couple weeks. But we're celebrating that. We're free. So we can identify. We were crucified with Christ.
And we're his children.
And
we're his
children.
Kids.
Yeah. And so we have to wake up to that realization when it even kind of comes to the area of healing. So if it's based on what Jesus did on the cross, was anybody in the Old Testament righteous?
Under their covenant, they were.
Does the Bible talk about anybody that's righteous?
Abraham.
Yeah. So let's look at Abraham. Yeah, because Enoch walked with God. And he was no more. For God said, come to my house. I don't remember. I mean, he, insofar, I'm not sure what scripture it talks about on there.
If he, because of his heart.
Because of his heart.
He desired to build a temple for God. And because of that, God gave him the honor of having one of his descendants on a throne in forever. Now, I don't know if that speaks of righteousness or not. It doesn't talk about a physical act, but it talks about the gift that he gave his heart as his righteousness.
Yeah.
Under his covenant is the righteousness that was available at the time.
It was could be imputed for a future.
Right.
People that put their faith in a future, there.
Right.
So there's a place, but let's go to Genesis, because we're looking at Abraham. That's the one that is spelled out throughout Scripture as righteous. I'm going to look at that because we're going to look at righteousness with Abraham, and in it's Genesis 15 where that statement is made. And in Genesis 15, it talks about, we'll start with 15:1. And after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. And then he talks to, and Abraham says to him about, but you, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless and the heir to my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Now, God had already given Abraham a promise some chapters back. In chapter 12, God had, in fact, let's flip back there real quick, because I'm gonna show a little progression here. In chapter 12, it talks about how Abraham had left, he was Abram at that time. Abram had left God told him to get out of his country, and he went to Canaan. And down in verse 7, 12 verse 7, it says, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. He received a promise from God, right? Mm-hmm. And apparently he was excited about the promise because he built an altar and celebrated that. And God had told him, this is what's going to happen. You're going to have descendants. They're going to inherit this land. Build an altar. Make a memory of it. Get that embedded. So he had a word from God. He had a promise from God. But then the very next thing that happens that's recorded is down starting in chapter or verse 10 of that same chapter. He says there was a famine in the land. And when it came to pass that Abram and Sarai went to Egypt, Now, God had told him, this is what's going to happen. You're going to have descendants. He hadn't had any descendants yet. Now, that means he has to live. So, but then what he says in verse 12, he said, this is what's going to happen. Now, God told him, this is what's going to happen. You're going to have descendants. Now, he's telling Sarai, this is what's going to happen. They're going to see you and they're going to kill me. The promise said, God said to him, God appeared to him. It made an impression that he built an altar. God told him, this is what's going to happen. You're going to have descendants. He says to Sarah, this is what's going to happen. They're going to kill me. You can't have descendants if you're dead.
No.
Doesn't work that way. So there was something that he got excited about, a promise. And it made an impact on him, but it didn't come out of his mouth because it wasn't in there. So this was like a background. And then he proceeds to tell Sarai, just say you're my sister. Now, that probably wasn't a great thing to do. It certainly wouldn't be, would you call it a right thing to do?
No.
No, so it's certainly not righteous from that standpoint. But here we are, we're moving on up now. Let's go back to chapter 15. We're continuing in here in the story of Abraham. And now Abraham gets another promise from God. And in verse 6, this is the key verse here in chapter 15, verse 6. And he believed in the Lord. And he, the Lord, accounted it to him for righteousness. He accounted it to him for righteousness. Because of what? Because of his works? No, because he believed God. Now, in this same chapter, it continues on here that Abraham asked him for, hey, some kind of sign. And God makes a covenant with Abraham. He, back in those days, they would do animals. You know, he split an animal. He split, it was a heifer and a goat and the lamb, I think, and turtle dove, pigeon.
Yeah. Turtle doves.
So he split those, opened them up, and then God moved through his burning fire. So it made a very... And over in verse 18, that on that same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants, I have given this land. Prior to this, back in 12, earlier, he said, I will give this land. Now he made a covenant with him. He said, I have given this land. So now he had the word of God appearing from God. He had another word from God. He had a covenant from God. So now, and he's believed it. He's righteous. And we go to chapter 20. Mm-hmm. And in chapter 20 of Genesis, and he came into, and Abraham journeyed from there to the south and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and stayed in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his sister, his wife, she is my sister. Okay, this is the guy, right, who has been righteous. He's been declared righteous by God. Yet his actions, are they right? Is he righteous?
He's wrong.
He's a jerk. But
he's still righteous in God's eyes.
But he's still righteous in God's eyes. But he's still righteous in God's eyes, not based on what he's done. But just as Abraham, but why? What made him righteous?
Belief in God's promise.
He believed God. Yeah, but it says that he believed God. He believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It wasn't that he did right, but he was made right. Now that applies here to what. So it wasn't his right doing that made him right, but it was his right believing that made him that he received that righteousness. Mm-hmm. So now here's now I want to have some application here now to healing. Did you ever have a situation where there was something that you needed healing for because of a situation, because of something that was self-inflicted. So maybe you, whatever it was, you know, could have been alcohol, could have been smoking, could have been, hey, I shouldn't have been picking this thing up, and I knew I shouldn't, and I did, and I said, oh. And now you're saying, oh, but I did this to myself. I did this to myself. So I'm not
worthy
to receive this because this is something I did to myself. So therefore, what I did makes me unworthy. Is that being awake to righteousness?
No.
Did Abraham change because of what he did? Does his position change because of what he did?
No.
It's still what he did. It's still awake up to what the righteous. What's my position? I have a righteous position. Let's look at this. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 4 because that's really describes this really well as far as we're going to start at chapter 4 around verse, boy, it's always where to start on this because you go back and you say, oh, I'll start the prior verse and then, oh, the prior verse, this is so good. We're going to start at 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. So we're going to jump in there because that was the scripture, that was the promise. That's what he had given Abraham. In the presence of him who believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which did not exist as though they did. Now we're talking about Abraham, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed. There's that word again. So that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced, fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. There we have that phrase again. It was accounted to him for righteousness because he believed. He believed that God was able to do what he said he was going to do. And for him, because he was made righteous, not based on what he did, he fell short. So now, same for us. Now here's another situation. You want to pray for somebody, right? Because you're running, operating this in this righteous position of God and want to minister that. But you get mad. You get upset. You get frustrated. You kick the dog. And now somebody comes to you and said, I need prayer. What goes through your mind?
I'm not able to pray for you right now.
Because... yeah, because we're not awake to righteousness.
Amen.
We're not awake to righteousness. We've dulled that in our own understanding. We've made it about us. We made it about us. Whether it's, oh, I did this to myself, so I'm not worthy. Ah, I sinned, and therefore I'm not worthy.
Christian? I have to bring up verse 16 in that context then. Are you going to do it? Go right ahead. Because
go ahead.
Says that inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith, that it might be given as an act of grace.
Mm-hmm.
It's all him.
It's all him.
It's all him.
Now we can say that and we can say, yes, we know that.
Right.
We know that. We read that. We agree with it. But then we come back. And we actually, when it comes to living it, then becomes more challenging because now we're in a situation where those thoughts do come. They say, oh, ooh, here's another one. All right, do you ever have a situation where you're believing God for something? You're going to say this, and you know the word says, but it doesn't. It's not manifesting. You're not seeing it in your physical body, and you start thinking, "What am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong?" And so you have this. Notice where the focus is. I'm doing wrong. Where am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? Once again, our focus is shifted back to us. Either I did something wrong, I must be doing something wrong. You know, I. But Abraham did a lot of things wrong. And here he said, but he believed God. He inherited the promise. But he didn't consider his own body. He stepped with the promise. And so there's a, and that's where I think the Lord was also challenging me to wake up to righteousness, wake up to your position.
Well, the scripture says God's gifts are not without repentance. So if you got them, it doesn't have anything to do with what you're doing. And if righteousness is a gift, we got it no matter what our behavior is.
Right. Pat.
You were reading from Romans 4, and in the Amplified, on that verse 22, it says, that is why his faith was credited to him as righteousness, right standing with God. If you think of a credit card, it's like an advance. And we talk about how the cross covered our sins, past, present, and future. You know, if you're going to get mad at the dog, if you're getting into works, because it continues that those words were written for our sakes too. Think of it like a credit card. Righteousness, standing acceptable to God, will be granted and credited to you also who believe in, trust in, adhere to, and rely on God who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. So I guess if going forward with this, if I did something wrong, instead of going into a feeling of unworthiness, I could say, well, I'm going to take an advance on that credit or appropriate the credit, how my faith can take advantage of his righteousness. If that helps.
Yeah, take advantage. And also because we are going to actually continue in chapter 4 there, because the question is, okay, is that just for Abraham? No, it says just for not just for Abraham. In fact, if we continue on with that, in 22 or 23, now, and it says in 23, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. He didn't. This isn't all just about Abraham. This is a parallel. This is showing what's for us. He said it's not written. This is not written for his sake alone that it was imputed, but also for us. This is sitting there also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. We're talking about the resurrection. Amen. That was, he died, he paid for it to put us in a righteous position, to make us righteous. And he was raised up because it was completed. We're justified.
Yes.
Not based on what we feel. Not based on what we've done or haven't done. It's waking up to that righteous position that we have.
And on verse 25 in the Amplified, it says, it ends with, it makes our account balance and absolves us from all guilt before God.
Yes. Yeah. And it's an accounting term. Like, right. It's like, yeah, it was accounted to him for righteousness. It's like, okay, it's done. Guys, it's done. Mm-hmm. Will you receive it? And I want you to jump to the next chapter, in chapter 5. Well, we talked about righteousness. We talked about awaken up to it. But in chapter 5, verse 17, this is key. And it says, for if by the one man offense, death reigned. Now, who's the one man's offense that we're talking about here?
Adam.
Because of what Adam did, then it says death reigned. Okay, now when you think of something reigning, it's like a king. A kings reign, absolute rulers reign. Death, now, not just talking about just the physical dying from, on this earth. Anything that has to do with death, destruction, killing, stealing, destroying, sickness, all that is death. Death reigned. Death was in charge. Death was in command. Death was ruling over you. Because of that one man's offense, death reigned through the one. Much more, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Now you notice the power there. Because salvation is not just about the sweet by and by. Because this verse says that you receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Now that word receive in the Greek is means that you take it. It's not just passive. You take it. You make it your own. You're taking it and that's, this is mine. It's like, this is mine. I receive this. This is mine. And so you're receiving the abundance of grace and you're taking that gift of righteousness. It's like if I had a roll of $100 bills and I started doing this, you grab it, would you feel guilty? Would you say, oh, do you feel uncomfortable taking it? Some of you might. Some of you, I know, won't. But some of you might. They're like, But some might, you might feel like.
Some of us might want to weigh out for $1,000.
Some of them, maybe. But there might be like a. But it's the same with any gift. Mm-hmm. A gift has to be received, has to be taken. And same with the gift of righteousness. And it's not just something like, oh yeah, I'm righteous, just because, oh yeah, it says that. But when it comes down to, yeah, I am the righteousness of God. And when and even there's what we call a righteous anger. Now, that's not mean I can get mad because I'm right. It's like, because no, there's a righteousness. I am the righteousness of God. It's like, do I deserve to be healed? Really, the question is, does Jesus deserve to be healed? Does he deserve to be blessed? Does he?
Yes.
Well, you're in him.
Amen.
If you're not receiving it based on your own, you're receiving it based on whose? Jesus's. Go to Galatians chapter 3. I want to. It describes that real well in there. He's talking to the Galatians, and we always Galatians chapter 3. Yeah, Galatians chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse 16. And he's talking about the promise. Paul is talking about the promise here to the Galatians. And he said, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Once again, we're talking about Abraham, promises of God. And he makes a really big point here. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. And this, Paul makes a really big point on this one little point of this singular versus plural. So God made a promise to Abraham and to his seed, to Christ. We don't have to be the one who fulfills it. We don't have to fulfill the requirement. The seed fulfilled it. Mm-hmm. You got it there, Ken, or you got a question? Or
it goofed me up there for a minute. A seed, that we're all his seed.
Yeah, but then it explains it further down here. It explains it here. He said, down, we'll go down in 29, the last verse in that chapter. Then he says, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. Yeah. You are Abraham's seed not because of what you, who you are, but because you are in Christ.
Yeah. Because of what he did.
Because of your possession in him. You are righteous because he is righteousness. What's another righteousness verse?
Romans
There's about 500, so I don't want to, you know, we could be in here a long time. I'm looking for. How about 2 Corinthians 5:21? All right, let's go there. But I wanted to make this point here in Galatians that the promise was made between Abraham and his seed, Jesus Christ, the anointed one. And then we, in him, get his righteousness. It's not our righteousness. And so we can receive based on what he did. Now, what did I tell you, 2 Corinthians chapter 5? Verse 21. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "For he," which is talking about God, "made him," Jesus, "who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God." But it doesn't stop there, does it? In him. We might become the righteousness of God in him. We are righteous because we are in him. And we need to wake up to that righteous position. Don't let that become dull. Don't become sluggish in that truth. And so from that position of righteousness, from that position of knowing that we have been made the righteousness of God in him, then we can have, that's where we can get this, if we want to say a righteous anger or a righteous indignation or righteous that would, sick when sickness comes in, it's like, not in this body. Yeah. Not in this body. This body is the righteousness of God. This body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. This body belongs to Jesus Christ. I've been bought and paid for a price. There's an attitude that you're coming in from, and when other thoughts would try to fire in that said, well, what about what you did? What about you did this to yourself? What about, remember what you did over here? How can you be the righteousness of God? What do you respond?
Because of what he did.
Yeah.
Jesus paid for it.
Yeah. You could say, guilty. I'm looking at what he did. Yep, guilty. Now, does it mean it doesn't make any difference how you live?
No.
Why? I thought it was all based on him.
Because we're testimonies of his grace.
Yeah, testimony of his grace. But also, so is God condemning you?
No.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because he sees us as righteous.
Why?
Because of Jesus' blood. Because we're covered with Jesus' blood.
All the condemnation, Jesus, God did.
Because mercy of Jesus Christ.
We're in Jesus.
We're in him. God did pour out condemnation on Jesus. He took it all. Yep. He took our condemnation. He took it. Now, but the world system can condemn. The devil can come around and condemn. You can give place to the devil because of sin, sickness. I mean, because of sin, because of disobedience. You can give place. So why would you do that? That's why John said about if anybody sin, he said, confess your sins, be cleansed of all unrighteousness. God forgives, cleanse of all unrighteousness. So not that you're unrighteous with God, but you're given place. So don't give place. Don't give a place. Don't give him any place. It says give the devil no place. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your enemy, your adversary, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. He can't just devour anybody. He's seeking who he may devour. It has to be somebody who is giving place, giving him a place to devour. So let's look. I have a couple other scriptures. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Now, in context, it was talking about food and drink, but in a broader context, it was talking about the law. It's talking about do's and don'ts, okay? The kingdom of God is not about that. And I think we could also say the kingdom of God is not about formulas. All right, it's not about formulas. Like, okay, what do I have to do? What's the 7 steps I need to do to be healed? What are my, you know, what do I have to do? You know, do you ever, I know I have. I've looked at testimony videos and listened to testimonies, and I said, okay, what did they do? What did they do to get healed? Because I want to know what I have to do to get the same thing. We can make it a formula in there. But it says it's not about eating and drinking. It's not about regulations. It's not about formulas. But it's about, notice what he chose. He said, but it's about righteousness. It's about righteousness, about your right position with God. It's about your position in Christ that you've been made righteous. And then from that, notice the next thing, peace. So from that position of righteousness, there's peace. And back when we were in Romans chapter 4 there, when we finished up Romans chapter 4 and went to Romans chapter 5, that first verse then talks about, therefore, having been justified, we have peace with God. So there's that peace that flows out of an understanding of righteousness, that I am the righteousness of God. There's a peace. And then from that peace, then there's joy. So righteousness, which then flows into peace, and then joy. Because now you can rejoice. Because I have an understanding. I've woken up to who I am, to what has been provided for me, what is already mine. And it's not about, did I do something wrong? Did I bring this on myself? Did I fulfill all the requirements? It's like, he fulfilled all the requirements. And it's bringing my mind back to what's that is. So wake up. Wake up to righteousness. Wake up to what has already been provided. Questions? Yes. Comment.
That your way to righteousness leads right into 1 Peter 2:24. We love to quote that second part, but we forget the first part, how he bore our sins and offered himself that we might die, cease to sin, to exist to sin, and live to righteousness. Mm-hmm. Therefore, by his wounds you have been healed. He accomplished legally what needed to be done so that now the enemy has no legal right to you.
Right.
When you're living to righteousness, therefore, by his wounds, you can be healed. You have been healed.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Notice it says live to righteousness. Yes, Pastor Mike.
When was your light bulb moment that you got this?
When?
Yeah.
Well,
when or how?
I think it was, just in the last maybe month, 6 weeks, when he showed me that phrase, awake to righteousness, there was like a little, okay, I think he was prompting me to study that more, to look at that, to see what that's saying. And that's why I kind of like, I think there was some other light bulbs that I knew along the way that kind of like made that, but this is kind of like really zoomed in here that says, hey, wake up. Like if, kind of like a wake-up call, like a wake-up. Hey, wake up to what your position is. Because when you have an understanding also of righteousness, that it doesn't free you to sin, it frees you from sin. Because it says, I'm the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God doesn't act this way. The righteousness of God doesn't flow that way. When you see yourself as the righteousness of God, when you see yourself as Christ, well, then I'm going to act like Christ. I'm going to do this. So I think there's a mixture in that, but I know he brought it to my attention maybe 6 weeks ago when he said, you know, look at this. So kind of like, Jim, come out of that drunken stupor there. You got to wake up here. So I think he brought it to me because, all right, there's some things that you can slide back into.
You can take it for granted. Or if you don't meditate on it, then it's you don't know the power of it. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, so you can keep it fresh. It says faith comes by hearing the word. And you're in an environment or you're in a world that's talking about other things, just like you mentioned, and you know, cutting off some stuff that'll cause you to be pulled from that truth, mm-hmm. and it's the truth of the word that allows you to become free and also to stay in freedom. Paul talked to the uh, to the in Galatians, he talked to him about stand fast in the liberty where you have been made free. He said, stand fast. That's not like, okay, now you're free, done. Okay, I'm free. He said, no, you got to. There's a standing fast that you do, which means you keep yourself in that attitude or in that revelation, and don't let it go. They had started out well. They had started out with an understanding of grace, an understanding of salvation, not by works but of grace. But they were sliding back into law. They were sliding back into legalism. I said, wait a minute. You started out, hey, continue the way you started out. So stand fast in the liberty. So I think there's a wake up call for me too, to say that. So that when God brings you something, then you kind of like, okay, pursue that, and say, what is that? Yeah, Carol.
This is something that I got last couple of weeks. Going back to Abraham, he was not a Jew. There were no Jews. No Jews.
Right.
He called things that were not as though they were. From that very beginning, when he called Abraham righteous, that was the beginning of everything that you've talked about that we have now. God called it forth.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't in existence, but that's what he wanted, and that's what he called, and that's what is. And like, I'm doing a Bible study in Genesis, and all these people, the things that they did wrong, it's like, oh my God, he just overlooked that because this was his will, you know, that he was going to have a people to dwell in. And it came, it's manifest now in the church. Mm-hmm. He called the church forth. There was no church before.
Mm-hmm.
It was kept a secret until Paul revealed that Christ was in us.
Mm-hmm. Yep, praise God. So yeah, but that's God who called things, and called things that be not as though they were.
Yeah.
And what he did back then is come into manifestation, but it's the same thing that he's given to us. He's called us righteous. He has called us righteous because he said he sees you the same righteousness as Jesus, because that's your righteousness. You have the righteousness of God.
Amen.
Praise God. Our time is done. Amazing, it went by.
Praise God, our time is done.
No, praise God. I look at the clock. That's a good point. Praise God. Period, space. Our time is done. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much for giving us your word. Thank you for the revelation of waking up to the righteousness and then applying that and walking in that revelation. Lord, thank you for that you're continuing to show us. We're continuing to dig in and get the full truth, the full revelation of what you are sharing, have shared with us. And so we give you praise for that, Lord. And we're applying that position to our bodies in the name of Jesus. Body? In the name of Jesus, you come into alignment with what the Word of God says. I'm living to righteousness. And by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Body, you are healed. You are healed. I command that in the name of Jesus. You are healed. Man, we receive that in the name of Jesus. Amen. You are dismissed. I'm going to be here. If you want some prayer, agreement, questions, I'm here. Amen.